En Cox estamos un paso adelante, como el muchacho que ya sabe la orden de tu cafecito incluso antes de pedirlo.
Hey, José, café con leche sin lactosa, un toque de vainilla templadito sin azúcar.
En Cox también nos adelantamos a lo que necesitas. Por eso el precio de tu plan no subirá por 3 años. Y nuestra seguridad avanzada protegerá tu red de amenazas antes de que pasen. Cox, un paso adelante. José, llamada de tu jefe en 3, 2, 1. Al menos 500 megabits por segundo de velocidad y Cox Unlimited Mobile. Impuestos y cargos no incluidos en garantía de precio. Velocidad de datos móviles reducida tras usar 20 gigas al mes.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
All that we've been through, after all this time I'm coming home, I reach towards the sky.
Well, that was weird. Anyway, so I don't know, hopefully you guys can see me and hear me and all of those good things, because Rumble Studios is, in essence, jacked up right now. I can't see anything that I'm doing. I'm having to look over here on Rumble. I see myself, but yeah, it's all broke. We're going to do the best that we can. I'm not sure if articles will pull up or if anything will pull up. This might just be me talking over a bunch of articles that you can't see. So let me know. I'm having to okay, good. Everybody can, cool. Well, I'm glad you can hear me and see me, because I can't see me, I can't hear me, none of that. So I doubt very seriously if any articles can pull up. But funny thing just happened. I mean, literally, 5 minutes ago just happened. So I go outside. I hit the start button, and this right here is literally the only way that I can see the chat. There it goes. Okay, it just updated. Hallelujah. Somebody in Rumble must have been listening. But funny story. Just to show you how political things truly are. And it honestly, I'm still wrapping my head around what just happened. Okay. So I hit the countdown. I went out to my little mini fridge outside to get me something to drink. And I saw this car in my driveway, literally in my driveway with the little yellow light going. And I thought it was the, post office. And, I didn't care, just went about my business and whatnot. And so I get a drink, I come back, and I turn around and there's a kid standing in front of me, maybe 27, 28 at most. And he goes, "Oh, hey, sir, let me explain to you why I'm here." And I'm like, "You're not the mail?" He goes, "No, actually I'm not. I'm a county assessor, and I'm here in the neighborhood," and he had a big old measuring little stick stuff with him, "and I'm looking at the property, and we're going to assess everything, and basically going to determine property taxes and stuff like that." And I was very honest with him, and I said, "Well, listen, Slick, this is new. The shop that I have, this is new. This concrete's new. All of this stuff is new. And do whatever you want." And he just kind of looked at me, and I said, "Because I'm a 100% disabled veteran, and I don't pay your property taxes. So do your worst." And he goes, "Well," this is where it got weird. He said, "Well, I guess there's really no other reason for me to be here then." I really, really feel sorry for you guys that all these stories I hear from people whose property gets reassessed after a subdivision gets done, and your payments go through the roof. It blows my mind. It just blows my mind how the government, not the federal government, the state and the federal, local, can just go more money. It blows my mind. If taxation is not theft, then I don't know what is at this point. So, Anywho, now is the time, folks, to do me a solid, okay? A lot of you did what I requested yesterday, and I just want to say, before I get into paying the bills, the call yesterday from Kimberly. You guys really have no idea what you pull, and I can't speak for Grammar Tony. I can only speak for myself, but let me just be vulnerable and real just for a minute, okay? Besides the Punisher, because he sucks at life, a lot of you guys, y'all really have no idea how much fuel you guys really pour into me. I've only been doing this 2 years, not 12 like Graham. And I can't even imagine like how difficult it is for Graham, simply because I've only done it 2 years and I've been punched in the face so many times in the last 2 years that and y'all don't know this, but just from little hits there, little hits there, little things here. And when my eyes, when I actually took the Matrix pill and my eyes were opened to this particular conservative movement that I've tried so hard for a year and a half to get my foot in the door. And I really, really, really looked and saw the movement for what it was. I almost quit. Like, I almost quit. Simply because I am not and will not ever be the type of person that sells his soul and gives up who he is to become what an audience think he should be. That's never going to happen, ever. Like, that's never, ever, 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 ever going to happen. It's just not. I'm never been that guy. I'm not going to be that guy. It's just not going to happen. And once I reach that particular level, it's like God gives me a nugget. I started the call in thing for myself and started reading emails and stuff like that. And I'm telling you, the biggest thing for me is, I've told you guys a lot that I don't fear death. I know that sounds arrogant, but I don't fear death. My grandmother, Gracie, my stepmom, which is my mom, her mother, she got cancer like 5 times in her lifetime and she beat it every time except the last time. And I remember I was younger. I was like in my mid-20s and I was sitting down with my grandma Gracie and me and her were talking and the whole family was just really mad at her because she refused treatment. She didn't want chemo. She didn't want to go through any of that stuff. And me being a middle-aged kid, I just wanted to understand. And I thought I had like decent faith back then. And my grandma Gracie looked at me and I said, Grandma, like, everybody's mad at you. Like, not really, not mad at you, but it's really upset because like you're refusing treatment. You don't want chemo. You don't want these things. I kind of want to know like where your head's at. And what my grandma said next changed my life forever, like forever. My grandma looked at me and she said, Michael Todd, and that's what all the old people in town call me. They use both my names, Michael Todd. She said, oh, Michael Todd, you know, I've been wondering my whole life, what Jesus looks like. Now I'm ready to find out. And I just sat there in that moment, and I was like, what amazing faith. She had no fear of dying. She knew she was going to die. She knew it. And she said, you know, I have no idea what Jesus looks like, but I'm ready to find out. And so I have, as Elisha did with Elijah, I looked at God and I said, I want this is amazing. I want double. I want double. And I've lived my life for the past probably 5 or 6 years by the literal scripture that Paul said that to live is Christ, but to die is gain. That if I'm going to be on this earth, then I'm going to enjoy my time. I'm going to live my life to the best that I can to reflect the heart and spirit that is Jesus Christ, knowing that I'm going to fail, knowing that I'm not always going to have the perfect example, but I want people to be, while I'm here, I want people to be able to see me, to be able to see me and see God. But if I got to die, then I'm going to be with him. It's a win-win situation that if I'm going to live here, then I'm going to live with him in my spirit. I'm going to live with him in my day-to-day. But if I got to die, I'm going to be with him. Win-win.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
And OU Mama 3, Kimberly, I'm glad to see you in the chat. I just got to say, Kimberly, that your call today really shook all of us to our core. In a good way, though. In a good way. So I don't fear death. And I don't. I don't. I know that's arrogant to say, and some people won't believe me, but I don't. The thing I do fear, and I've said this a 100 times, the thing I do fear is when I do get up there, and I'm standing before God, what is he going to tell me? Is he going to tell me that, hey, man, I gave you a weird accent. I did. But you did the best you could. You did. You, like Paul said, I ran my race. And that's all I want. You did a great job. Or is he going to say, man, you could have done better? What are my rewards in heaven going to be for the talents that I've been given and how I use them? That in essence, folks, is my greatest fear. And I hope that it's yours too. But when you get phone calls like Kimberly today and emails that I've gotten in the past and phone calls I've gotten on this show in the past, you always worry. Are you making a difference? You know, we started praying on the show, when I joined. Actually, believe it or true story. The reason Dear America prays at the end of every show is because of Kendra. 100% is because of Kendra. Kendra's dad, if I remember the story correctly, and sweetheart, I know you're in the chat. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think I got this story right. But right before a show one day, Kendra called and asked me to pray for her dad on the show. And I said, absolutely, 100% will. And prayed for Mr. Kenny and got messages galore after that. Would you please pray? Todd, would you pray? Guys, would you pray? Guys, would you pray? Would you please pray? And that's how prayer closing out Dear America started. And so you just worry about at least I do. You worry about these things that you've got this reach. You talk to thousands and thousands of people a day. And do you make a difference? A political difference. I'll be real with y'all. I don't care. I really don't. I really don't. Because people are going to believe what they want to believe as far as left, right, Republican, Democrat. People are going to the real thing, the real test is, are people going to believe Jesus is real? He was man. He was God. He died for your sins. He was nailed to a cross. And most importantly, he rose again in 3 days. That's the thing. Do people really believe that? That's the belief that I want to spin in every person that listens to me. That's the belief. Now, if we spread the name, love, grace, and mercy, that is Jesus Christ, and we actually turn some people on to the right way to do things, which is, you know, the conservative way, then okay, that's a bonus for me. That's a bonus. But the older I get, the more I'm turning in. The gospel is more important than all of this. I mean, it always has been, but driven focus, if that makes sense. And Gmall 346, I agree. That's my fear. I that is my biggest fear in life. Is that too? Facing Jesus and him saying, "I didn't try hard enough," or "What did you do for others?" That is my number one fear, besides snakes. I can't do snakes. And so, having said all of that, I told y'all yesterday that this, and I was wrong about the year, which blows my mind even more. So in April of 1965, this audio from Paul Harvey aired for the first time, April the 3rd of 1965. Just to put that in perspective, my father, Spartacus, was born on April 8th, 1965. So 5 days before my father was born, Paul Harvey came out with this, "If I Were the Devil." And today, the title of the episode today is part one. It's going to be more of, this is kind of how I see it playing out in my head. Because the news is so slow right now, and I'll be honest with you, one thing that I do not like about this, doing this for a living, is by the time you guys get to me, you've heard the same story 15 times. You've seen the reels 100 times on other Rumble creators, and everybody's just kind of lemming this thing. And, well, this person's talking about this. Well, let me put my spin on it, but I'm still saying the same thing. And I've tried my best to not do that. Yeah, photo guy, you're my dad's age. Sorry. But yeah, my dad was born April the 8th of 1965. But this is when this came out. And my thought process behind going over this 3-minute clip of Paul Harvey is, it can't be done in a day, for one. It can't be done in a day. I don't know how long it's going to take. We may have 2 or 3 episodes of this. And if something big breaks, then, you know, we'll pause, we'll back up, we'll punt, then we'll come back to it. But today, part one is just going to be a general summary. We're going to listen to the whole thing. We're going to talk about the whole thing. And then in the upcoming episodes, we'll probably skip it tomorrow because it's Wifey Wednesday, and I don't want to take any camera time or air time away from my brunette. And we'll probably revisit this on Thursday and then possibly Monday, depending on how it goes. But today is just a general summary of this particular thing. And if you haven't heard this, then prepare yourself. This is really, it's some pretty scary stuff. But before we get into it, I think it's really, really important. And I'm going to do this before every episode of this particular series. I think it's really, really important that we have a firm grasp and understanding of who and what the devil is. Okay, because there's a whole lot of myths here about who the devil is, who he was, what he can do, what he can't do, all of the things. And I think it's good to have a solid understanding of who the devil is. And I've done a lot of research on this. And again, let me throw a disclaimer out here. There is no concrete evidence biblically. There are characteristics of the devil throughout Scripture. There are characteristics. But this, the concept of the devil as a person, who he was or what he was, and all of those things, is one of those theological arguments that it's just going to continue to go until God, until Jesus returns. So let me be clear about this. This is one of those arguments that Christians have every day, such as the nakedness of Noah, the Nephilim, all kind of stuff. It's not one of those things that matter. It's just one of those things that Christians like to argue about for whatever reason. But so let's get into it. Who actually is and what actually is the devil? So really quick, the word Satan, and these articles are not pulling up, by the way, so I'm not going to be able to show you. You're just going to have to trust that me that I'm reading, that the stuff that I wrote is here. All right, so number one, the word Satan actually means adversary. All right, and that in itself pretty much sums up everything. The word Satan, the name Satan in itself means adversary. So God is light, the devil is darkness, God is truth, the devil is lies, manipulation. God's the creator, Satan is a destroyer. He, you know, the old...
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Physics, for every action, there's a reaction. And God is the action, the devil's the reaction. For every yin, there's a yang. So the devil's the yang. So Satan in itself, the word, actually means adversary. And it goes on. This is an article that I pulled up, and I've read several. And of what his name is, what it means, and all that stuff. But one of the biggest problems that Satan had is pride. Pride in itself is basically the devil's origin story. And if you go to 1 Timothy 3:6, it kind of lays it out for you, but you got to read the fine print. And Paul writes to Timothy, he says, he must not be a recent convert, or he will become puffed up with pride and conceit and fall into the condemnation of the devil. Perfect sense. All right. And everything that we remember from the history, from Bible school and VBS and stuff is, he was Lucifer. He was basically God's choir director, his hype man. He was the biggest, beautifulest angel in heaven. And then at some point, he decided that he wanted to be worshiped too, that he deserved the same glory and the same worship as God. And you go into Ezekiel, and Ezekiel writes in 28, in chapter 28, he says, in the Old Testament, the prophet Ezekiel takes up an oracle against the human ruler of Tyre, an arrogant person enough to claim to be God himself. But he continues in verses 12 and 14. He says, you were the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. You were anointed as a guardian cherub, for so I ordained you. You were the holy mount of God. You walked among the fiery stones. But your heart became proud on the account of your beauty, and you corrupted your wisdom because of your splendor. And then Isaiah, it says, I will ascend to the heavens, I will raise my throne above the stars of God, I will sit enthroned on the mountain of assembly, on the utmost heights of Mount Ziphon, I will ascend to the top of the clouds, and I will make myself like the Most High. And for those reasons, Satan was cast out of heaven. Now, we also have to accept the realities of Satan himself. His domain, his dominion is here. It is here. And I always go back to this, and this I get a lot of pushback for this, and this is just me talking, okay? So when you get to John God, this thing is so messed up. Sorry, Matthew and the temptation of Jesus. Okay, in the temptation of Jesus, you get to Matthew chapter 4, and it says, again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all of these I will give you if you will just fall down and worship me. And of course, Jesus said, be gone, Satan, yada, yada, yada. But here's my question, and I get a lot of pushback from this because I consider Satan to be the king down here. Because you can't give away stuff that ain't yours. And so if the devil says to Jesus, hey, if you just fall down and you worship me, I will give you everything that you see. Well, if it's not his and God didn't give it to him and it's not his, then he can't give it. I mean, you're basically telling God's son, God, I will give you this. So, some other characteristics. He's a liar. He commands his own host of demons. Angels fell with him. He's a liar. He doesn't necessarily rule all demons. Jesus, when he's talking about Satan, he says he was a murderer from the beginning, not holding of the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks in his native tongue, for he's a liar and the father of lies. Lie, cheat, steal, kill, and destroy. But he's not stupid. In any sense of the word, he's not stupid. And so that, in essence, is who the devil is himself. And I really hope this plays. I really do. I'm going to try to make this work to the best that I can. Please work. Please work. Hey, all right. Okay, so let's enjoy really quick. The Paul Harvey, If I Were the Devil.
If I were the devil. If I were the prince of darkness, I'd want to engulf the whole world in darkness. And I'd have a third of its real estate and four-fifths of its population. But I wouldn't be happy until I had seized the ripest apple on the tree. Thee. So I'd set about however necessary to take over the United States.
And here's my question for the chat. Paul Harvey saw this coming in 1965, that if I were the devil, if I were the devil, I would go after the ripest, biggest, brightest apple there was, the United States. And we've talked about this in nauseam on Dear America. We've talked about it here. The world only prospers when America prospers. When America is at its best, the world is at its best. The majority of these nations, I don't care what their opinion is of us, but they all look to us. And my biggest fear is there is no mention of us, the United States, in the Bible at all. There's no mention. And my biggest fear is, in order for the destruction of the world to happen, for the world to fall into total anarchy, chaos, and complete sin, well, the United States has to fall first. And as we continue this, it gets nerve-wracking. It gets nerve-wracking. But let's continue.
I'd subvert the churches first. I'd begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve. Do as you please. To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what's bad is good and what's good is square.
Okay, so Paul Harvey... this thing. So the first thing he would do is corrupt the churches, corrupt teaching of the scripture. You got to do that first, because like, and me, I think of the devil's campaign from a strategic military perspective. Okay. If you get them at the training bases, If I can get to the United States military, if I can get to the training bases first, And I can corrupt the training. I can corrupt the training bases. Well, then that's maximum effect right there. So if the devil can get to the church, if the devil can get to the church and to the people behind the pulpits and the message that's being spread, that's maximum effort right there. And we have seen this over and over and over, and we call it, and let me just, this is, I'm trying my best not to be funny in this episode, but we, Dear America, Hot Seat, Chad, we cover this up in three letters. We call it CLC. But looking at what Paul Harvey's saying in the 60s versus what we're seeing in 2025, I mean, folks, I mean, we're seeing it. We are seeing it. The corruption of the church. We're seeing it over and over and over and over and over. We're seeing it. The wrong message being taught. The non-biblical scripture being taught. We see it over and over and over and over and over and over. Listen to this.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Yeah, Micah, it meant that there was dry land that the dove could find the olive leaf. That was a symbol that God used and that we continue to use today at our church. What other symbol from the Noah's Ark story can you remember? There's another symbol in that story. Yes, Carter, a rainbow. Look, we've got some rain. Look, rainbows. I have a rainbow bracelet today. A rainbow. Do you know that rainbows are another kind of symbol beyond what God intended the rainbow to mean? Jerrion. It is a symbol for LGBTQ plus people. That is right. And they're beautiful. I agree. I'm going to show you. There are doors with rainbow decals in each one of those pictures. Whose doors are those? They are the churches. All of the doors to the outside, we have those rainbow decals on our doors.
We see it, and I get it. We get fired up about it, and a lot of us, we call it CLCs, and we say, this is funny, but is it? These are children. These are children. And what do you think these kids, because these kids are going to go to their schools, and they're going to go to their elementary schools, and they're going to go to their friends on the bus, and they're going to tell the story of Noah, the ark, and the flood, and the LGBTQ rainbow that God put in the air. If I were the devil, and I'm going to add a little bit to Paul Harvey. If I were the devil, I would start with the children. If I were the devil, I'd start with the kids. I would root out the kids' mentality of good and evil. And even Paul said it. Let me go back here. Here. I would add something to this. I would confide to the children. That's what bad is good, and what's good is square. All right, here's another one.
Well, you didn't. The Holy Spirit conceived Jesus in her womb.
Did Mary give God consent?
She believed what the angel said. Because of her trust and confidence, our faith, yeah.
Support us. Do not do this. You need to be with us, marching with us, like Jesus would be.
I am marching with you.
No, you're not. You are distracting from the message that we are trying.
Yeah. And so that's the new left. That's the new lefty thing, in case you didn't know, that God raped Mary, that Mary didn't give consent for God to put Jesus in her womb. And I would say that that's the worst of the worst, but it's not. Actually, here's this guy. So Joe Rogan had a Texas representative on his show. The guy's name is James whatever. He's a Christian. He says he's a progressive Christian, which I don't think there's such an animal. But this is his stance on abortion, and according to him, it's biblical. It's biblical.
But I say all this in terms of, in context of abortion, because before God comes over Mary and we have the incarnation, God asks for Mary's consent, which is remarkable. I mean, go back and read this in okay. Luke. I mean, the angel comes down and asks Mary if this is something she wants to do. And she says, if it is God's will, let it be done. Let it be. Let it happen. So to me, that is an affirmation in one of our most central stories, that creation has to be done with consent. You cannot force someone to create. Creation is one of the most sacred acts that we engage in as human beings, but that has to be done with consent. It has to be done with freedom. And to me, that is absolutely consistent with the ministry and life and death of Jesus. And so that's how I come down on that side of the issue. Again, I'm very open for my fellow Christians to disagree with that, and they may have scriptural passages they point to.
And so this whole premise here is pro-abortion, because he feels like scripture teaches that the angel that appeared before Mary requested consent before God and the Holy Spirit put Jesus in Mary's womb. Therefore, consent is so important to creation, and therefore we should be able to kill babies. Well, I got news for you, buddy. You might want to reread Luke chapter 1, and we're going to do it together, because I believe in being very thorough. So the birth of Jesus was foretold. Now, I personally, and I know a lot of people that are King James only. I'm not. I have various different versions of the Bible that I like to read, and the English Standard Version is one of my favorites. But in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying, and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God, and behold, you will." Not can you, you will. You will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall, not you need to, not it'd probably be a good idea. You shall call his name Jesus. He will be great. And he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end. And the Mary saying said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will," not can he, not is it okay, "the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age is also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her, who was also called barren, for nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be me according to your word." I didn't see, I don't know about y'all, but I didn't read, I didn't see any, Mary, is it okay? Are you okay with this? No. Do you know why? Because God is all-knowing, all-present, all-powerful. He knew Mary's answer before the statement was made. And that's my problem with this progressive view of God and this progressive view of biblical truth. We forget the power and the awesomeness of God. God knows the answer before he asks the question. Like, the question is just, if I can say this, Lord, and you know my heart, it's arrogant. Why ask a question? God already knows what you're going to say. Like, oh, I can't stand people. I just, false prophet. I told y'all in the last thing we did on Philippians, this is my biggest thorn. Paul had a thorn in his spirit that God refused to remove. And there's a lot of arguments over what it was. Possibly Paul was blind, he was crippled, all kind of stuff. I don't think that at all. I don't want to get into that because we'll be here for the rest of the day. I have a thorn too, and it's false scriptural teaching. That is my thorn. I can't, man, bring back the Salem witch trials. I'm just here to tell you. So anyway, and that's what Paul Harvey was saying in 1965. If I were the devil, I'd start with the church. I'd begin with the church. I would have them teach so much false doctrine, so many false teachings that eventually the word was spread. And here we are. Here we are. We have people teaching pride to our children at Sunday school lessons in front of the whole church. And nobody gets up and says a word. Nobody says anything. No. I'm ruining your Sunday school lesson, Pastor. We have a progressive Democrat that stands up in the middle of the thing and says, well, God's pro-abortion because Mary had to give consent to God. No. Mary didn't give anything. Mary said, thy will be done. Your will, not mine. Your will.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Be done. Hold up. I got to answer this. Let's see. Let me highlight this really quick. Guys, if I see good questions, I didn't mean to pin it. What Bible did Todd say you have? The English Bible? I have a difficult time understanding the King James Bible. I have several. I have the English Standard Version. I have the New Living Translation. I also have the Holman's Christian Standard Bible. I'll be real with y'all, and a lot of the old heads and boomers will get pissed off at me for saying this. I don't read the King James Version. I can. I choose not to because I don't speak the King's. Like, I don't speak Martin Luther English. I speak American English, and I butcher that at times. I told y'all, I got to have things in crayon. So, and I'm not one of those Christians that says, it's King James or nothing. Whatever. But as we continue, and we'll get back to Paul here in just a minute, because we got to finish the whole thing so we can start on part one tomorrow or Thursday. But have you seen this? It's doubt after doubt after doubt. All right. Now, the New York Post actually posted the Shroud of Turin didn't wrap Jesus's crucified body. It was just art. It was just art. Just art. That's all. Just art. That's all. Just art. Oh, God. Rumble keeps kicking me off. I mean, And you can go back and you can look at this stuff for yourself. Every time science tries to disprove the Bible, they end up proving it. And I got a whole lot of stuff for that we'll get to later on. But let's go back to Paul Harvey for a second.
That what's bad is good and what's good is square. And the old I would teach to pray after me, our Father, which are in Washington. And then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies and vice versa. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil,
right, let's
I'd
go
peddle
back.
Narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction, which aren't in Washington.
And regardless of what you think, believe, hear, whatever, this is major here. This is absolutely major. And to the old people, I would teach the prayer after me, our Father, which art in Washington. Now, this is very difficult for a lot of people to hear. All right, it's very difficult for a lot of people to hear. And I just have to challenge every one of you people, and I have to challenge myself. Okay, I do. I have to challenge myself, but let me, no judgment, but I have to ask you a question. I have to ask myself the same. How many times a week do you spend, how many times a day, a week, do you spend with God in prayer? How many times a day, a week, do you spend in time with God in prayer, in His Word, reading His Bible? Reading His Word that was perfectly crafted for you. And we as Americans say, man, I go to church on Sundays, but I don't really have time to read the Bible. I try to talk to God and be as good as a Christian as I can. But I mean, my day is just so busy. Yet, a lot of us, a lot of you, you never miss an episode of Dear America. You never miss an episode of Chad Prather's show. You never miss an episode of The Hot Seat. That's 3 hours in the day right there. And I'm guilty of it too. And let me tell you a little, let me be vulnerable for a second. There are times when I'm in church that I literally will feel led by the Spirit during worship to raise my hands, and I refuse not to. I refuse it. I don't do it. I don't raise my hand in worship. Yet if I go to Tuscaloosa, Alabama on a Saturday night and watch Alabama play Georgia, I'll shake my shaker. I'll raise my hands for 3 hours straight during an Alabama football game. But we say we don't have time for God, but we have time for our favorite TV show. We have time for our favorite influencers. We have time for Instagram, for Twitter. We have time for all of that. How many people in this country do you think put Donald Trump, Joe Biden, or whoever, Kamala Harris, on this pedestal? Borderline idolism. They'll spend hours, influencers will spend hours upon hours making content defending President Trump, defending Joe Biden, defending the left, defending the right. But when it comes to defending scripture, when it comes to defending the Bible, when it comes to defending the gospel, the love, grace, and mercy that is Jesus Christ won't take 2 seconds, 2 seconds to defend God's policies and God's message. Not trying to stomp on any, I'm stepping on my toes at this point. I'm stomping on my own feet. So we're going to hurt together. And at the end of the day, I just be real with y'all. You can amen or you can owe me, whatever. But I promise you, I'm stepping on my own toes here. But let's continue before I run everybody out of here.
And then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies and vice versa.
Media, the new, I tell this story all the time and people say I'm crazy. Look where we've come. Look how far, And again, this was my, and this is the perfect reference for this, because this came out in 1965, the year my father was born. And my father tells me the story that the worst whooping he ever got from his dad, the worst whooping he ever got from his dad was my grandfather came home and caught my father watching Three's Company. It was a sitcom with John Ritter and two other women, and the whole premise of the show was you had a single man living with single women. My grandfather caught my dad watching this, what we would call an innocent show. What we would call in 2025 an innocent show. My grandfather caught my father watching it in the 70s and whooped his butt for it. What do you see on TV now? 60 years later, what do you see on television now? How is anything? You can access anything. We celebrate OnlyFans models. Again, you can amen or you can owe me. But I remember growing up when I was in the 90s, like they would say like damn every once in a while. And even that, you'd be like, ooh. Now? Oh my Lord. Wow. But let's continue. Oh, wrong button.
I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills.
And we talked about this morning. We talked about this in detail this morning. Narcotics, you had a crack epidemic. Now you have a fentanyl epidemic. Oh my Lord, the Democrats let the fentanyl trafficking people just come over here by the millions. Our kids are addicted to drugs. And the ones that are not addicted to drugs, well, we can't discipline them. We can't put them. The timeout of the late 90s and early 2000s, well, that just doesn't work anymore. So now my kid is hopped up on seven different ADHD tranquilizers and God knows what else, because I don't want a parent. I don't want to be a disciplinarian parent, so medication is easier. And I was guilty of it. Kendra will tell you, I was on, I don't even know how many pills for anxiety, surgeries, the PTSD, all kind of stuff. And I was a zombie. And somebody asked the question how I felt about medical marijuana. I love it. I take it two or three times a week in a little gummy to help me sleep and to help me relax. One little tiny gummy took the place of six different medications that I no longer take anymore. But medicine is our answer for everything because it's an easy way out.
If I were the devil, I'd soon have families at war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, and nations at war with themselves until each in its turn was consumed.
Well, I hate to tell you, the family is all but destroyed in this country. It's all but destroyed. And churches, like, churches are so busy arguing among denominations and which denomination is biblically accurate and that denomination does this and that denomination says this. And I can't even keep up with how many freaking denominations. I'm telling you, denomination, the word denomination, what we'll figure out when we all get to heaven, the devil invented the word denomination. I'm convinced. I'm 100% convinced because Jesus Christ did not die to give me a denomination, okay? He didn't. All right. So if you're SBC, UPC, LMNP, whatever, good for you. Whatever. I don't do that. I don't claim denominations. I had a church one time because I do have a degree in theology and the Bible or whatever. And I did have a church ask me to get whatever. And I said, no, ordained. That's no, I don't believe in it. No, thank you. I'm good. Because contrary to what people know, once you become ordained in a specific denomination, that denomination has a head, has a board, and they can tell you where to go, what to do, what to teach, what not to say. Nuh-uh. Y'all know me. I don't play that game at all. I don't. But we're so busy arguing on who's right about things that don't matter that we forget that the church is not here for denomination. And we spend so much time beautifying our buildings and creating these massive, massive worship centers to create a sanctuary for the saints. And I'm sorry, people, your church is not a sanctuary for the saints. It's a hospital for the broken. That's what it's for. If you're a believer and you're a Bible believing, you have a incarnate knowledge of Jesus Christ, I applaud you. But that church is not there for you. That church is for that empty chair representing the person that's not there. And that's what Big C has forgotten. And so Paul Harvey's right. We're not fighting the fight of souls anymore. We're not doing it anymore. Come on, Rumble.
And with promises of higher ratings, I'd have mesmerizing media fanning the flames. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects, but neglect to discipline emotions, just let those run wild. Until before you knew it, you'd have to have drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors at every schoolhouse door.
I don't even know. I that right there, talking about schools and our children, I really don't have to say anything. Like, I don't. Our schools nowadays look like an entrance to a prison. They look like entrances to a prison. And you have teachers and educators that are more worried about teaching pride. And now somebody told me the other day, and I, for the life of me, I can believe it, that some schools in this country are, as far as teaching history, that they're going to remove the Jewish stuff from the Holocaust and say many people of many faiths died during the Holocaust. Stop it. Stop it. We don't teach truth anymore. We don't teach truth to our children. You have educators that, not all, there are some amazing educators in this country right now. Amazing. And thank God for you. If you're a teacher, an administrator, a teacher's assistant, God bless you. Because I wouldn't do your job. I couldn't. Not with these kids today. No way. No way. But we're more interested in teaching politics. We're more interested in teaching pride and drag and having pornography. We got pornography books in our school now. And you know why? Because we took the Bible out of it 20 years ago. And that's the only thing that evil needs to get its foot in the door. You remove right and righteousness, the only thing left is evil.
Within a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing. I'd have judges promoting pornography. Soon I could evict God from the courthouse, then from the schoolhouse, and then from the houses of Congress.
Let me ask you a question. When's the last time one of your children came home from school and said they prayed? When's the last time your one of your kids came home from a schoolhouse and said, "We talked about Jesus today. We read the commandments. We talked about the commandments." They removed the commandments from the courthouse. They removed the commandments from everywhere. They took God out of schools. They took prayer out of schools.
And in his own churches, I would substitute psychology for religion and deify science. I would lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls and church money. If I were the devil, I'd make the symbol of Easter an egg and the symbol of Christmas a bottle. If I were the devil, I'd take from those who have and give to those who want it until I had killed the incentive of the ambitious.
And I do want to go back. Hang on. Let me go back to... I'm going to go back to this right here, because this is something that a lot of people in my community fault me and my previous wife on. We made a decision when our boys were born. Okay, if I were the devil, I'd make the symbol of Easter an egg, and I'd make the symbol of Christmas a bottle. And me and my previous wife, we 100% agreed on this, that at whatever point it was, If one of our boys approached us during Christmas and at whatever age, okay, and I understand the age had to be a little older, and it actually happened. Dad, I want to know the truth. Is Santa Claus real? The answer is no. And my dad, my grandparents, my friends were like, "Dude, you're crazy. You're going to ruin their innocence." Okay, cool. Whatever. The reason we did that and the reason that we decided to do that is really simple. It's because one of those days I knew that my child would come up to me and approach me and say, "Dad, is God real?" And if I lied to my children and said that a mythical figure like Santa Claus or the Easter Bunny or the Tooth Fairy were real, even though you couldn't see them, smell them, or taste them, well, you can't see God either. And we made that decision. And look at what Christmas and Easter has become. It's become money-making. It's literally become an egg and a tree. I wouldn't say a bottle. I would say a tree.
Christmas, a bottle. If I were the devil, I...
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
And take from those who have and give to those who want it until I had killed the incentive of the ambitious.
What's the government done for the past 20 years? If I were the devil, I would take from those who have and give to those who wanted. Sounds like Mama Dama Dama Dami, doesn't it? Until I had killed the incentive of the ambitious. You know, there's nothing wrong with ambition. I am a very, very passionate, very ambitious person. I'm never satisfied. Ask Kendra. I'm never satisfied. I always think I can be better. I always think I can do better. I always think that I can work harder. The rung on the ladder is never high enough for me. That's just the way I was wired. That's the way my father raised me. But that is eventually what's going to happen in our country. If you continue to take the people that work their tails off to achieve something, to build something, to create, generate, possibly generational wealth, if you continue to take from those ambitious, hardworking people and give to the ones that don't care, then you're going to kill the ambition and the ambitious American spirit, because that's what it is. The American dream, the quote, American dream is not sitting on your, and I'm not trying to disrespect anybody, but is not sitting on your butt waiting for the government to give you everything. That's not the American dream. And when you take the American dream from those who worked for it and give it to the ones that don't deserve it, then you kill the ambitious American spirit.
And what'll you bet? I couldn't get whole states to promote gambling as the way to get rich.
Now this right here is a toughie. I'm not going to lie, because I don't do it all the time. I'm not a gambling type of person, but I mean, me and Kendra went to Vegas. I went to the casinos there and I really enjoyed myself. I did. I had a really good time. But I do see the other side of the coin, because my state here in Mississippi just opened up our lottery. Like, Mississippi has never had a lottery, ever. Now we do. We've had it for a couple years, I think. I think it's been a couple years. And I know and see people in gas stations every single day spending house payments on lottery tickets, house payments on scratch-offs, house payments on this stuff. Promoting gambling, lottery tickets, scratch-offs as a way to cure all your problems and get rich.
I would caution against extremes in hard work, in patriotism, in moral conduct.
I mean, we really don't have to talk about that. Patriotism in this country is all but dead.
I would convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned, that swinging is more fun, that what you see on TV is the way to be. And thus I could undress you in public, and I could lure you into bed with diseases for which there is no cure. In other words, if I were the devil, I'd just keep right on doing what he's doing.
And that's the end of it. I mean, that's the end of it. I would promote marriage is old-fashioned. The divorce rate in this, I mean, I'm divorced, Kendra's divorced. If you're divorced, no judgment here, no judgment. But it's a vicious circle, and I know I'm running out of time, but the divorce thing is a vicious circle in what Paul Harvey's talking about. All right, the divorce rate in this country is outrageous. We've got kids that are just, we got kids growing up that they don't want kids, that they are not going to have kids. That nuclear family that we all grew up with in the 80s just is no longer existence. People, and I'm guilty of it. We didn't sit around. When I was growing up, we ate at the dinner table. Like, we sat down and we ate at the dinner table when I was growing up. And I'll be the first to tell you, I'm guilty of this. We ate in front of the TV. And that was one of many mistakes as a parent, as a father. We didn't do that. We didn't. And as far as the sexual stuff, like, how many high school kids graduate as virgins now? It's just, we don't even have the abstinence conversation anymore. It's, I mean, that's how normal it is. You know, in our days, when I graduated in 2000, having a person pregnant in high school, that was an anomaly. That was weird. Now it's that helped. Some schools have daycares in them. I mean, my father, I was born in 1983. In February, my father graduated in May of 83. So good job, Dad. But it's a normal thing now. It's completely normal. And this is a three-minute clip here. And from 1965, and we're going to continue this thing. We're going to break this thing down, like, set by set. But I just wanted to do a summary of it to just show, like, this is, that, I mean, it's not borderline. This is prophetic. From Paul Harvey, April the 3rd of 1965. And he ends it amazingly. In other words, if I were the devil, I'd just keep right on doing what I'm doing. And I hate to say it, but where's the lie? Donna, I'm 6 years older than your son. Whew. Mm. But let's really quick, let's pay some bills really quick before we get out of here. I know we got to get to TJ after this. Let's talk about something that we really need to have a discussion about, and that is Rumble Premium. All right, a lot of people asked me this morning on Dear America and asked me yesterday. For those of you that do not subscribe to Rumble Premium, that do not catch the premium version of Dear America, this is for you. All you got to do, this is going to save you $10 off an annual subscription. I think the annual subscription is like 90-something bucks a month. This knocks $10 off of it. So go save you some money, scan this QR code, or you can go to Rumble Premium, rumble.com/premium/studio. You can use code studio at checkout and it'll save you $10 off for the yearly subscription. Listen, Rumble Premium is absolutely amazing. For me, I say this all the time, it's worth it just for the ads, not having them. I don't even get on YouTube hardly ever anymore because I can't deal with ads. I pay the extra to Hulu so I don't have to deal with ads. I hate them. But go to Rumble Premium, scan this QR code. I'm telling you, you will absolutely love the premium content that we're getting ready to launch on Dear America. You will absolutely love it. So check it out. Check out Rumble Premium. It's absolutely 100% worth it. I promise you. All right, let's get to the hot takes real quick, and we will get out of here. From Johnny Marine, that pastor was preaching about the corrupted, perverted idea of the rainbow needs to be burned at the stake. That's my biggest problem with it. Because, listen, false prophets and false doctrine has been happening since the beginning of the church. You can go to the book of Philippians and see the Judaizers that were teaching in Philippi back then when Paul was in a Roman prison. All right, so that's nothing new. Teaching false doctrine is not a American thing. It's an old thing. The problem is back in those days, you had fire breathing men that were willing to stand up, burn the boats and call it out. And now it's just not happening. I'm your Huckleberry because I'm here to tell you, never mind. I can't say that. Can't say that. Alicia Victoria at work, try not to cry. What do you do when the person you wisdom from isn't here anymore? Listening about your grandma made me think of mine. I love it. If God gave us visiting hours, you know what, Alicia, I struggle with that every day, because the person that I gained wisdom from was my grandfather. My grandfather, he was, every time I had a biblical problem, a theological problem, an issue in my life, I ran to my grandfather, and I lost him to Parkinson's 2019. I can't answer that for you because I don't know. The only thing I can tell you to do is become the person that you lost. I strive every single day to be half the man that my grandfather was, every single day. And so that's the best piece of advice, is be the person that you miss the most. Be that person, become that person, because your family needs that person. My grandfather left a massive hole in my family, a massive hole. And I could work the rest of my life and never fill those shoes, but I want to try. Lifelike. Todd, you are touching all my flaws and weaknesses today. Thank you. I needed to hear it. We don't change if someone doesn't point out our faults. You know, it's not a lifelike. Thank you so much for that. But it's not me punching or smacking or nothing like that, because I have to check myself. I have to check myself. And the Bible's really clear. Iron sharpens iron. That's our responsibility to one another as believers, is being accountability partners. Even though there's 500 of you watching right now, And I don't know you. I've never met you, but we're all in the same family. We're all a part of God's family. We're all God's sheep, and we need to hold each other accountable. We need to sharpen one another, and we need to prepare one another for what's coming. And so, yes, absolutely. Johnny Marine, I tend to check for myself the verses and things that you, Chad Graham, and others I watch talk about. If you guys discuss a biblical principle, I research it. I 100% agree with that. Like 1,000,000%. I trust no man to teach me biblical and theological principles. I don't. And that's not an ugly thing. It's not me saying anything bad about any pastor for that matter. But no, I'm going to research it for myself, 100%. I don't care who says it. So, good for you. Johnny Marine, it wasn't only the Jews. My great-grandfather was on the train to a concentration camp when he escaped. Don't leave the Jews out, but yeah, they weren't. I agree with that. I agree with that, but Johnny, you know as well as I do how they're portraying it, and that's all I was saying. St. Nicholas was a real person, Nicholas of Myra, who was known for his kindness and generosity. Instead of shattering the belief in the unseen, teach the origin story. There are records. Agreed. Cutie Pie 18. Cutie Pie 18. Okay, you almost got me. When we were asked about Santa, we explained that Santa is the spirit of Christ of giving gifts, and the ultimate gift is God's Son. I like that. That's pretty good. I like that. Pretty solid. P.S. I'm not trying to be argumentative. There are problems in all the world, but our Father has already sealed victory. We can have hope knowing that. There's nothing wrong. I'll be the first to tell you, there's nothing wrong with having a healthy debate among Christians. Absolutely nothing wrong. That's how learning occurs. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand. In Christ alone, all my hope is found. And that's my biggest argument with the church, is we spend so much time arguing about the things that don't matter, that we forget about the only thing that does, and that is people's eternal decisions. That's all I've ever tried to say with people. And that's my biggest problem with the church. And if you go to church, listen, if you go to church long enough, okay, and I do it with Kendra all the time, and she always gives me the Kendra look that she gives me that y'all see on the show. They'll say, if you have your Bibles, turn to whatever. I'm like, oh, here we go. I've heard this one before. And 9 times out of 10, I'm right. Which it's all good because somebody there hasn't heard it, and that's great. But we spend so much time arguing about things in the Bible that do not matter, that we forget about the things that do, and that's the gospel. This is a good question right here. Dark Speed 2, Santa, hero or villain? I have no problems with Santa Claus, with the Easter Bunny, with the Tooth Fairy. I got no problems with it. There's a time and a place for all of that. I'm not one of those Christians that will tell you, your child shouldn't watch Harry Potter. I'm not that person. I'm not, okay? If, because you got to let kids be kids, all right? You have to let, and I think that's our biggest problem is the innocence of our children. Let them be innocent. And I thought it said Satan. Yeah, he's a villain. He's pretty bad. But no, I got no problems with Santa Claus, with the movies, the watching the Christmas movies with Santa. And I got no issues with that. None. It's just for me as a dad, it was, okay, if I spend all of my time during the Christmas holidays lying to my child about Santa Claus being real, when it comes time to believe in this God and Jesus that he can't see, that he can only read books about, that he can only watch movies about. And that was my mindset. But no, I do not believe that if you teach your kids about Santa Claus and you enjoy the Elf on the Shelf and all of those things, no, I don't think you're doing anything wrong. And any Christian that tells you are is a judgmental peckerwood. I used to have a pastor who's a really, really good friend of mine who was a mentor of mine. And he told me he got onto me for letting my kids watch Harry Potter because it was witchcraft. And I was like, dude, get out of here. Like, it's a movie. I mean, get out of here. And KJ13, I understand, but God is real and Santa is not. I understand that. That's why I said you got to be careful with it with your kids. You got to be careful. But I don't think there's anything wrong with it. But again, I'm not your kid's father, so you do you, boo boo. If you feel strongly that you shouldn't invite Santa into your kids' lives, then don't. I mean, again, goes back to what I was saying. It's one of those arguments that doesn't matter at all. That doesn't matter. Raise your kids, however. It's not Huckleberry. That's been proven wrong. I've seen that movie a million times, and it's one of my favorites. But anyway, I got to get out of here. I got to go. I love you guys. Do not forget to check out all of the links in the description. I know Shock has posted the Hot Seat Discord link up in the chat. So if you want to join us on the Discord, click that link. Join the Mafia. Had a lot of conversations outside of this. And the audio, don't forget Spotify, Apple, wherever you watch podcasts, the links are down below. If you don't listen to the audio, which I don't know why you would, I don't even want to hear myself more than once a day. So, but still, do me a favor, click on, if you're a Spotify user or Apple user, click on the link below. Follow the podcast, the actual audio version, and give it a rating. I would appreciate it. Keto Brains, don't forget about those guys. They are amazing. Keto Brains is a nootropic creamer for your coffee, your tea, pre-workout, whatever. And if you go to ketobrains.com and you order and use code HOTSEAT at checkout, you'll get a little electric stir thingy right there for free. They'll send it to you for free. It's got the Keto Brains logo on it. It's pretty cool. I use it to stir up everything. It's very convenient for me. I make a mess with this thing, and Kendra gets mad at me because I don't clean it right. But anyway, I'm sure she'll give me that look when I walk out of the studio. But other than that, let's raid TJ. I hope you guys have an amazing rest of your afternoon. I'm really tired. I'm probably going to go take a nap. I will see you guys in the morning alongside Graham and the Mexican. Who knows? Who knows what's going to happen? Let's pray for our country. Let's pray for our leaders. Ask God to, I ask God to put somebody in front of you this week that needs to make an eternal decision this week. And I ask that God give you the discernment to recognize who that individual is and give you the courage to speak his name with boldness, with love, with grace and mercy, the same love, grace, and mercy that he shows you every single day. I love you. I miss you. I mean it. And we're so close to it. I'm going to continue to say it. Roll Tide.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.